Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Yeah. I think this game is it's going to be a good environment. They're a great football team. They're, you know, great defense, great offense, and I think it's a kind of a start for, you know, the games that we may have down the road of maybe, you know, at the end of the season, you know, need some wins, and it's going to be tough battles. So I think it's a start here for us to know what it's like and when the weather gets a little colder. I'm not down there, but when it starts to, you know, what this game like is against a good team, you know, good record, good quarterback, you know, great defense. So it's a challenge, and it's you know, feels like a game that got some little bit extra to it. But, you know, I think it's also an opponent we don't really know really well, you know, NFC South, and you don't see them often, but it's a chance for us to, you know, get another road victory, and it's always a great test for a great team.
Drake May on the Bucks this weekend. We've talked about this a lot, Keith. It's not an easy spot for the Patriots.
No.
You started to hear Vrabel talking about it, and the answer where he got snippy with Andrew Callahan that we played for you off the top here, where he's like, well, we're just trying to focus on our 10th game in a row. Not win in a row, but our 10th game in a row. We haven't had a bye week yet. We're grinding. Meanwhile, Tampa is sitting there at home, getting healthier, coming off a bye, and they're a good team. Mm-hmm. So this is one where you look at the schedule and you go, not only is it a difficult opponent, it's a tough spot for the Pats, and if they're able to pull this win out,
oh, my God.
They're not favored. They're not expected to.
Nope.
But if they do, I mean, it would change my outlook on them, I guess, a little bit. I already think they're a contending team, but I'd feel better about that. I think it would really change the national outlook on this team and really rise them up as like a true team to talk about. Have we not talked enough about them? Are they a true contender if they're able to go into Tampa and win this weekend?
Oh, my God, yeah. Because this was one that was circled even earlier in the season, even like before the Buffalo game, you were looking at it and said, the schedule is really easy, but, right? And there was always like three games that you'd sort of point to, and this was one of them. And I think Tampa has cooled a little bit because prior to their bye, Baker Mayfield, when they were 5-1, Mayfield looked like an MVP candidate, if not front runner.
We both thought he was the MVP at that point in time. Yeah.
And then they lose to Detroit, and then they beat New Orleans, but Mayfield doesn't really do much. New Orleans is terrible. And that was sort of an example of like, hey, they are pretty good because they played poorly and they beat the Saints by 20. But it wasn't like, hey, look at this game. It wasn't a signature game for them by any means. But they're 6-2. They're coming off a bye. It would be really the second signature win for the Pats. So it would be their 8th win of the year. But it'd be like the second one that you can point to and be like, see, this does legitimize them. This isn't just beating the Titans and the Browns and the Saints. So it's a hell of a challenge. It's a really good quarterback, which, again, they haven't faced a lot of those, right? It's been a lot of Spencer Rattler, Dylan Gabriels, Cam Wards, Bryce Youngs. But Baker Mayfield, like, you're talking about a guy having a top five quarterback season.
He is. And they struggle going into the bye.
Yep.
They really haven't had Mike Evans hardly at all this year. He played the first couple of games, got hurt week 3, came back, got hurt immediately. Godwin's been in and out of the lineup. He wasn't practicing yesterday. Bucky Irving started the year great. Not that I have to tell you over there.
No,
Keith.
I got him sitting on my bench for a while now.
Bucky Irving, owner in fantasy. But Bucky Irving started the year great.
They were hoping he might be back this week, but he didn't practice yesterday.
No, both him and Godwin didn't practice yesterday. So they've had a good amount of injuries, and going into the bye week, there are a couple of games. It was the Lions and somebody else going into the bye. I forget who it was. But they...
Lions, then New Orleans.
Lions, then New Orleans. Yep. Thank you. So they didn't look great in either game offensively.
No.
And so was that a team that desperately needed the bye? They're going to reload and come out on the other side looking like the team they did early in the year? Or are they just limping along because of the injuries that really aren't getting any better? We're going to find out. But I'll increase my view of them if they win. I already think pretty highly of them. I already think they're a contender. We've gone through and we put them on the top tier. We put them on best around. There's not much higher for them to go in my mind.
No.
It would legitimize it. And I think they'd be legitimized for a lot of people around the country. It's Nance and Romo this weekend.
First time since 2023?
We used to expect those games. Every weekend it was those guys. Those used to be no big deal.
Yeah.
It was routine. Now this is a game that's going to be shown in a lot of households across the country, not just in New England. No Arch and Spiro. Jason McCourty just constantly predicting the wrong thing that's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be Romo probably predicting the wrong thing that's about to happen.
Making some noises.
But a lot of people are going to see it, and I think this is a chance to legitimize themselves to the rest of the country. A lot of people here believe, rightfully so. Maybe Vrabel, not enough.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people around here already believe this. This is their chance to legitimize
themselves.
And I'm
going back to, even though they are on this heater, like, I don't expect them to win out, right? Like, they're not going to go 15-2. So they're going to get tripped up along the way. But it's just like, what does that look like when they do get tripped up? You remember what we were saying the week leading into the Buffalo game? I was like, give me a competitive loss. I'll take it. I'll sign up for a competitive loss. I'll move on. I'll be happy with that. It's sort of like the building blocks. And then so when they beat Buffalo, it sort of changed how everybody felt about the team. Like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is ahead of schedule. That is a big-time win. So I'd feel the same way. I'd feel great. I mean, if they win, yeah. I mean, sky's the limit. It kind of feels like it still is. You just want to see, even if they lose, if it's a close, tight game, you're like, all right, at Tampa Bay, could be a really hot day, for God's sakes. Like, I'll sign up for that.
Well, I would agree to an extent. Like, if it's a well-played game and they hang in there, and I remember feeling this way. I don't feel this way often in losses, but I remember back in 2014, they went into Green Bay, played a hard-nosed game against Green Bay. They lost. But I didn't feel terrible about that one. I'm like, man, that's a Super Bowl contender on the other side. You went into Lambeau. You went toe-to-toe with them. Mm-hmm. I came away pretty impressed in a loss. That happens rarely. The one that gets cited a lot was in 2001 against the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
And the Bucs aren't this team, or that team, rather.
No, they're definitely not.
They're good.
The Bills are better, right? Like the Bills game, and also because it's a division game and it's Josh Allen. Like, that one I looked at as that's a tougher challenge than this.
So, but if they go toe-to-toe with Baker and Baker beats him on a final drive or something like that, and he's won a lot of games this year, I probably won't feel horrible about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if they have some giant lead that they blow late.
Right.
Or if they just look.
Oh, Drake May fumbles. I mean, there's a lot of different variations.
But in general, you know, I don't want to box myself in too much, but in general, if they lose a one-score game to Tampa, I probably won't feel too bad about this one. It's a tough spot that they're going into.
Definitely.
But a win would legitimize a lot of things. So I hate putting a team in a no downside sort of situation.
If
they win, great, and if they lose, great. I hate to put them in that kind of spot.
I got it.
But if they play competitively against Tampa, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel good about the Jackson 5. Coming up at 11:30.
Ooh, one short hour away.
We're excited for it. We'll go on the clock at high noon as well. Make our cases for and against clones.
I'm against.
Some people are confused.
No, I said clones don't have souls, not dogs.
Yeah,
dogs have souls.
People are saying,
the strongest souls of anybody.
Hey, Keith, Hero.
Harrow.
The texter says Hero.
Harrow, H-A-R-R-O-W.
Hero doesn't have a soul, Keith, you monster. He said Jones's toothless dog may not have one.
By the way.
But Hero, how could you say that?
This daylight savings has messed Harrow up, like, big time.
Yeah.
He would get up at 7 a.m. Like, you could set your watch to it. He goes down to our bed anytime at night, wakes up at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's, like, getting up at 5:30 in the morning. He's, like, trying to scratch into, like, the girls' room and, like, wake them up. So now I have to get up at 5:30 and be like, dude, you're not going in there. Daylight saving. The kids reacted way better than the dog.
The kid doesn't even notice.
Kid's fine.
He's like, boy, it's dark out there early. But other than that, the kid doesn't even notice.
No, they're back on their schedule. I mean, as much as Georgie can be. But, like, Harrow's, like, it's messing with him.
No, the dog. Now, Charles already does this. Charles is old and crotchety in his old age. He just wants his food. So he'll start.
Mashed up food.
No, he'll start, like, you know, going over to his bowl and, like, give it a scratch.
Yeah.
He already does that before we feed him at, like, 5.
So 4 o'clock, he's like, where is it?
No. So he's already a little in front of that. Like, the older he gets, the crotchetier he gets, and the more he's, like, already pushing
special.
That line.
Yeah.
But daylight savings has complete. He's, like, 3:30. He's, like, scratching
him.
His bowl. I'm like, Charles, we're an hour plus away from your meal.
It's driving me nuts.
And my wife caves. My wife's like, let's feed him.
I'm like, no.
He'll be, we'll want dinner again at 11 o'clock.
You got to send a message
to
the 13-year-old dog.
he'll
take him an hour to eat it anyway.
He's like, I want that mush.
I need that.
Throw that mush in my bowl. I want that.
Can you chew it for me?
So we'll get to it coming up, as we will with the Jackson 5. Mark in Medford has thoughts, it says, on the Jackson 5. Hello, Mark.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Yeah, I hate to burst your bubble, but I don't want you guys to get sued. The Jackson 5 is a federally owned trademark by Motown Records. So I don't think you'd be able to use that. So you might want to be careful.
That was
the first thing that popped into my head.
I thought he was going to say the Jackson 5 has already been used by the Greg Hill Show.
We cleared it with Greg. We were like, we don't want to just steal bits. Can we borrow this bit? And he said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But Mark went another way. He thought copyright.
He thinks Motown's coming after us.
All right. So maybe you have maybe in the podcast description, we'd call it something else. Or we write out five instead of the number five.
Can we get the Jackson 5.
Can we get our legal department on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think let's do that.
We have a bit of a Jackson 5 situation going on.
I thought he was saying Greg was going to put out a cease and desist. No, we got the clearance from.
No, he even promoted it this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said coming up later today. Jackson 5.
How about that? Oh, I missed that, but I did know we got clearance from the big man there.
Oh yeah,
617-779-7937. One thing I am very interested in this game: are they going to try to force Kyle Williams into the game plan? He and Drake May clearly don't look right.
No.
They're not on the same page. That second down at the end of the game where they were trying to run out the clock last week is an example of it. But there's a million. He has two catches this year. So, and he played way more in that game on Sunday than you'd realize, 30-plus snaps. So I'm curious if they try to kind of jam him into the game plan and make that a thing to justify the draft pick. This exchange yesterday with Drake May, I think it's Doug Kide asking the question, I think.
Yeah.
But listen to this exchange on Kyle Williams yesterday.
I was talking to Kyle Williams and some of the miscommunication that you guys have had. How do you work on that, or is there anything to that? He said there might have been some miscommunication on some of the targets you guys have missed on so far.
Miscommunication? We're starting at what place?
I don't know. I was asking him about some of the targets that he hasn't caught. He said there's just been kind of miscommunication with you.
No, really. I just got to give him a good ball to catch. You know, I can't really think of any miscommunication I've had with Kyle. I think he's done a good job when he's in there, and I think he's doing a good job in practice. So just, I really think just proud of what the guy's done in that room, and we get to continue to do it.
Okay, so he's like flummoxed by
he's screwed.
Kyle Williams
is screwed.
Telling Doug Kite, I think, or whoever the reporter was, telling him that, we've just had some miscommunications. And Drake's like, what do you mean miscommunications?
What play?
Yeah, what play?
Tell me which play.
Yeah. And Doug's like, I don't know. I'm just telling you what Kyle Williams told me.
Kyle said. Oh, that's what Kyle said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that bodes well for Kyle. I'll tell you that much.
I think it's a bad sign.
I think this is like.
It's not Jalen Polk and Javon Baker.
It's not Jalen Polk. And I'm not going to take it to the extreme of Tom Brady, where a young receiver would run the wrong route once and he would never throw over that guy ever again. I don't think it's going to be that. But especially with Drake May having good chemistry with pretty much every other player on the field, I can't imagine the ball gets thrown to Kyle Williams much this weekend. Even if he's out there for half the snaps again, I think he'll find somebody else to throw to.
Yeah,
He did not like that.
He didn't.
He did not like that.
He's like,
what
do you mean, what play?
What play are you talking about? Well, I'd be like, I don't know. You've only thrown to him four times season. Yeah. Maybe those four plays?
Yeah, right. That's true. There's not that many plays. But okay, so Kyle Williams is saying it's a miscommunication. Did that get misinterpreted? Did he really mean I'm not on the same page with Drake?
I mean, that's a dangerous thing.
Is he kind of throwing the quarterback under the bus? Is that why Drake is like, well, what do you mean, miscommunication?
So Kyle Williams this season has played in every game. He's been targeted six times, and he has two catches.
So those plays.
So my guess is the four that he didn't catch were miscommunications, according to Kyle. Not according to Drake May, though.
No.
Like, that's a direct contradiction.
So
that isn't like, hey, I need to talk to him. He's like, I don't know what plays you're talking about, and I don't remember any miscommunication.
Is it?
So he did not care for that.
Is it a realistic fear to worry that Vrabel, Cowden, Wolf, whomever, they're going to jam Kyle Williams into the game plan this week to justify the draft pick? Is that a rational fear? Or do you think he'll just be out there, you know, running cardio like he was last week? You barely notice him, and Drake just throws somewhere else.
Yeah, and people now are like, oh, he's a good blocker. Like, great. He can block, and he can run routes.
Who
said on Twitter. He's a good
blocker.
People
are saying he's a good blocker? Yeah. Kyle Williams?
Was it Taylor Kyles, maybe?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if it was Taylor Kyles.
I'm unaware of this narrative.
I'll look into it. I thought I saw that. But, I think he'll be out there just because they don't really burn out Steph Diggs. Like, if they have 60 offensive plays, Steph Diggs doesn't play 60 of them, but when he does play, they usually look his way. So my guess is Kyle Williams probably gets a lot of run, but it'll be on running plays or on other plays where there are four other guys in the pass tree, and Drake May will find somebody else.
I mean, I wonder if they try to get him involved this week. And look, if it works, great. And they've had a pretty good track record with doing that this year. I didn't like when they stuck with Pop. It's worked. I didn't like when they stuck with Ramondre Stevenson. Bigger gray area, but it's worked. I didn't like how they handled the stuff with Steph Diggs and the party boat. It's worked. So they've had a lot of this stuff work out for them. They babied Christian Gonzalez, taken 8 weeks to come back from a hamstring issue. So a lot of it's work. Maybe this will work too. But that's one worth keeping an eye on Sunday, especially given the quarterback's response to it. 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on Pats and Bucks on Sunday. Mixed in with Mike Vrabel and his feistiness yesterday when pushed about the trade deadline. But coming up next, another good example of players buying in to Mike Vrabel, his coaching style, and one specific player I just mentioned that I had some doubts about, Steph Diggs. We'll get to all of it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Coach was talking about how you helped change the culture here. He then dropped that there were 41 players in here lifting on the day off. I don't know if you were part of the group, but what does that say about the
team? It's just the direction that we're going in. It's the middle of the season, and I think it's more importantly that the season just kind of started. You know, obviously, that first halfway point through the season, guys kind of figure out what kind of team you are, what kind of team you want to be, where you measure, and the things you've been doing well. So trying to figure out that identity. At this point, I feel like we know who we are. We know where we want to go, what it's going to take to get there. So guys come in on off day, putting that time in. I'm not surprised.
That was Stephon Diggs yesterday. Mike Vrabel revealed during his very feisty press conference that 41 players were in on their day off to do a lift on Tuesday.
I love that. Vrabel, I love that. One, first of all, good number. Like, whatever, day off, a lot of guys, a lot of buy-in. I also love that Vrabel knows the exact number. It's not like, hey, there's a lot of guys, there's the majority of the guys. He's like, no, 41 were here, 12 weren't. Like, he knows. I mean, I guess there's more practice squad or whatever, but you know what I mean?
I get your point.
Like, that's pretty funny.
41 guys on their off day showed up to lift. I mean, that is a good number. That's a good sign.
You think 41 guys showed up at the Jets off day?
No. No. I don't even know.
Do 41 fans show up to games?
They even have 41 guys on the roster.
They may not.
Yeah.
They may not.
So, no, that's a good sign. That's a good number. And, you know, Diggs was kind of singled. It was in an answer about Diggs that Vrabel gave in his leadership, and he cited the 41 guys showing up on their off day. Now, I listened to some of Will Campbell yesterday, too, because I was curious if he said anything about the Celtics game.
Yeah.
He didn't really say much.
No.
He did say he was a rebounder in high school. He said that's his game. He's like, I'm a boards guy.
Probably he'd take about 4 or 5 hard fouls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he'd use them up.
That's his paint.
Yep.
Yeah. That's his paint.
But he also said, because he was asked the same question, he's like, what does it say about this team that 41 guys showed up on Tuesday to lift? He's like, well, I guess they wanted to lift on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. He's like, we have the choice. He's like, we can either lift on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
But you can keep it to yourself, and maybe this is worth asking, who are we talking to tomorrow? On
I think Milt.
Oh, is it Milt?
I think it should be Big Milt.
Oh, no, it was on Milt West Friday. You're right. We got Milkman.
Milkman's
so
great.
On top of playing him the Shime clip on Drake May, we gotta ask him about the lift on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And maybe Henry as well next week, and whoever else we're getting, Christian Ellis, Craig Woodson, whomever. But on top of that, like, yeah, he basically said you can use your off day to do whatever. I mean, you can stay home. You don't have to show up to the facility. Family time if you have young kids or whatever. You can just sleep in if you want. Rest your body up. 41 of the guys, even if they're choosing not to lift on Wednesday, they're still showing up on Tuesday, lifting, and then you're back to practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's
great. I still think that's a great sign.
I think it's a good sign because it's middle of the season. You could easily excuse it away and be like, I'll take a little bit of a break here. I kind of owe it to myself. We've reached the halfway point, even though the bye week hasn't happened yet. But, no, there's still complete buy-in, and it seems like, you know, every single game there's a reason for them to go out there and kind of prove it. So, yeah, all that stuff, like, is, you know, even though you and I are disappointed in the trade deadline, them not doing anything, I think the team themselves is in a pretty good spot. And obviously, like, the mentality, they talked about changing the culture. And sometimes when you hear that stuff, you kind of like roll your eyes, but it does seem like there's like a real legitimate change there.
This is the plus with Vrabel. culture, buy-in, team building, bonding, all that stuff, right? Like, he is a leader of men. It's not his scheme. It's not his system. It's stuff like this. And in year one, we're already seeing it. And good. I mean, that's why he's here.
Yep.
But that's still a good thing for the Patriots. By the way, I like this answer, too, from Steph Diggs. I told you from time to time I like listening to him.
All answers by Steph Diggs.
Which I didn't expect.
It's been great.
This was a follow-up question about his leadership.
Your teammates have talked about the leader that you are in this group.
Was that something that you were intentional about in coming in? This year's different now that you're more of a veteran player, or that you went through the injury and have more perspective? Is there a difference in how you kind of approach leadership this year?
No, not at all. I mean, everybody outside looking in can have got a different vantage point to a lot of things. I had a C on my chest for 4 years when I was in Buffalo. It's no surprise as I'm a leader. Do I work hard? It's never been a question as to who I am. It's always when I left when there was a lot of questions.
Right.
That's growing pains. I got big enough shoulders. I'll take what come with it. But I didn't approach this year no different than I approach any year as far as like from a leadership standpoint of working hard, earning the respect of my teammates, or earning the respect of my coaches too, and just kind of going off of that. Like, people get lost in it. It's easy to go with a narrative. But when you meet me and I get around my teammates, I let them speak for more than I'll say it. But being a leader is part of being accountable, and I look forward to being accountable each and every day.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. He was a captain everywhere he was. I think I want to say even his last year in Minnesota, but certainly his time in Buffalo, and then even his half year in Houston, he was a captain. And he points out, like, he knows what people say about him, because he's like, yeah, the questions aren't when I'm there. It's like right when I leave, that's when the questions pop up. And I think you could make a great case.
That's not totally true. His last year in Buffalo, the questions were definitely while he was
still
on the
season.
Team.
Good point. That sort of like led to the buyout. Yeah, that's fair.
But
I guess you're right.
But I get his point, yeah.
But also, I think Houston made a huge mistake in hindsight. Like, they should have brought him back. Nico Collins is a great receiver. They drafted two receivers. They brought in Christian Kirk. None of those guys, what is it, Higgins and Noel, is like the Iowa State guys. Mm-hmm. None of those guys are performing as well as Steph Diggs is.
No, they brought in, I can't remember if they traded for him or signed him. They brought in Christian Kirk. He's done nothing.
None of them have done anything. I do think it's been a little quiet the last few weeks for Diggs. I think this is a big game for him.
It should be.
I think he does. The Bucs' pass defense isn't great. You know, they got a couple guys in the secondary that I like, but it's not a great pass defense. Kayshon Booty's probably not going to play. I think they're going to need him. And the last time they had a massive big-time game, when the lights were the brightest, he showed up.
I was just going to say the same thing. And we all thought it was just because it was a Buffalo revenge game.
Yeah, no.
Maybe the Patriots are just picking their spots to lean on him coming off an ACL injury. And they say, look, we're going to need you this week against Tampa. This is a Steph Diggs week. And not that he's ever not in the game plan, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This is a week where we lean on him. And I think that would be the right approach. 617-779-7937. Kurt's in Tampa Bay. Hello, Kurt.
Oh, Tampa Bay.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, a Patriots fan living here in Tampa. It's brutal. I'm a sixth grade PE coach, so one of the kids wants to send you guys a message real quick.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Go Buff 6-7.
I knew it.
Hey, don't. I control his grades, so he gets an F.
All right, good. Yeah, fail that kid if you don't mind.
He just failed gym, son. Yeah,
okay, honestly, suspend him. He's not allowed to go to school anymore.
I thought we were going to go a couple hours without hearing 6-7. When I get out of the house.
He hit us with a 6-7 and a Go Bucks.
Yeah, that stings.
How do you come back from that?
You don't. You can't recover from that. I bet a lot of Patriots fans, though, will be at the game on Sunday.
I heard Greg say, he's like, everybody I talk to, Greg, is going to the Bucks game. I was like, no one I talk to is going to the Bucks game, and I guess.
We don't really talk to anybody.
Yeah, we have different, you know, circles. Social circles. Exactly.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is the one to go to. Like, when you look at the schedule ahead of time, you know, people like to travel, like to go to different destinations. And this is, I would say, one that would be pretty good.
Okay.
Little November trip to Tampa.
You got to deal with little punks running around down there, apparently.
Oh, my God. Lawless.
But short of that, it'd be a game worth going to.
Were they just huddled around the gym class listening to our show?
I mean, it sounded that way.
Not bad. What did you do in gym today? Listen to a Boston sports radio show? We got to talk to your teacher.
Yeah, Kurt, sorry if that gets you in any trouble.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah. They're out of demo, Keith, and out of state.
But they say target the young audience. No, but I would say that 12-year-old.
Look, you want to get younger, we just did.
13 years from now, he's going to be in the demo.
The Florida youth, we're huge with the Florida youth. 617-779-7937. We will get to the Jackson 5 at 11:30. Jackson has cooked up 5 questions
for
me.
I'm excited.
Keith, Billy, Nick, we're all answering. So we'll do that at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon. Clones, are you four? Or are you against? We'll make our case in just 60 seconds, plus a key for badness for you at 12:45. And more on the Red Sox, their offseason. Are their plans coming into focus. Do they even have a plan? Let's get to it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.